baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park. Movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. Hello! I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
You're too kind.
Too honest.
Well, that should be good corn time. It's a movie.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How are you, Mr. Dream Warrior?
I am. You know, we'll talk about that. But I was like, yeah, I think I'm a dream warrior.
Yeah, you can pull other people into
your sleep. I can do that. Yeah.
I have a question for you. Do you have lucid dreams where you know you're in the dream?
Yes. I remember during Elm Street time, I kind of trained myself to recognize that you're in a dream without waking yourself up. And that's kind of the tricky part. But yeah, I know once I'm in a dream, I'm like, and then sometimes it gets a little crazy, you know, and they're like, oh, eventually you wake up. But yeah. How about you?
No, I've never had a lucid dream. I always thought it was just real and I forgot. I always wish that I did, because there are people that I've met over the years that are like, yeah, you can like start flying around and you're like a superhero. And I'm like, God, I guess that's why video games I rely on too much. It's like too much.
You can change it up. And actually, I credit Nightmare on Elm Street for that, for controlling your dreams. Just like Nancy Thompson taught me.
Exactly. She was also a therapist in the movie. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. But you're listening to the podcast, Set Cheddar Saturdays, with Robert Patterson, the creator of the website, setcheddar.com. Best website, filming locations on the web, of course. Check it out. And we got a good show tonight. We're going to get into, later on, Back to School. Best movies that have taken place in school or are school-related. So I figure it's a good, perfect time of year to do that. You're either first week of school or kids are going back soon.
Tis the season. Midwest kids usually go back a lot earlier than the coast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know when it is anymore. See, when I went to school growing up, it was like after Labor Day. But now I feel like it's early August.
Yeah, early August for us.
Yeah.
For most kids, but...
We got to stop China from kicking our ass scholastically. But
who knows?
But yes, we got a great show tonight, and we're going to get into, first off, what you've been watching. So, Robert, let's kick it off with you, because you have quite the list.
So you look at this list; it's literally, it looks like I don't have a job or anything, but I have all this time in the world, and I do not. But somehow I squeeze all these in, and we haven't talked in a couple of weeks, so. I'm a big brother through Big Brothers Big Sisters, and so we got together a couple weeks ago, and then the movie he wanted to see on the big screen was Top Gun Maverick. So I finally saw it. It happened to be a fan appreciation day, so we all got little mini posters. And
well, that's a cool poster.
And see a little 3-minute thing before the movie. But yeah, so I can finally check that off, that I finally saw it.
I know. I feel like Top Gun Maverick is the movie of the year that you just have to check off. Like, I'd be fine waiting for it to come out to streaming, but everyone was like, have you seen it yet? And it was still playing like 4 months later. I was like, yeah, I gotta get in there.
I guess it's fine. You know, like, I don't... It wasn't the second coming, like everybody, you know, thought it was, you know, it was, or was touting it.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a better film than the original Top Gun, but the original one's more fun, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But.
Did a little revisiting. So Annie, the 1982 version, was playing at Alamo as part of Summer of 82. So I got to see that on the big screen, which I don't think I've seen on the big screen since 1982.
Oh, wow.
So Wendy and I, my sister.
Come out tomorrow.
Sing, Oliver. We got our Annie wigs out and wore them to the theater.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was so cool.
It was a kid camp movie. There were no kids there. There was 5 adults in the whole theater. So,
wait, it was a kid?
They called it, at Alamo, it was called kid camp. You know, like, this movie's for kids on a Saturday.
Oh, so there was 5 adults. How was the crowd?
It was
a lot of people?
No, 5 people. That was it. 5.
Oh, I thought you meant just like 5 adults.
No, 5 adults, no kids. That was it. Nothing.
So you kind of had the whole place to yourself.
We kind of did. So we kind of could have made a movie sing-along party if we really wanted to. But
yeah.
And I know we've talked about Annie before and some of the weirdness that happens. Like,
with Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy Warbucks, he wants a girl for a week.
He wants a little girl.
10? 11? No. He likes cheeky girls.
The story's timeless and the message.
Yeah.
The references, some of them, they would be updated today for today's audience.
And I need to go back because obviously I'm a movie location enthusiast, and a lot was shot in at Warner Brothers, but some on the East Coast. But the opening shot, you know, she's singing, she's in the orphanage singing, and they show her point of view looking at New York. But I'm like, there looks like some 1980 apartment buildings.
Oh, they didn't do any updating?
No, I was like, wait, what? Is Annie seeing into the future? I don't know.
Isn't it amazing when you find stuff like that and you're like, yeah. Attention to details, paramount.
Something, but it's like, that's one of the few just establishing shots. And I'm like, I don't think that's right. But anyway.
That's how it was when I saw the Royal Tenenbaums. There were some shots that were kind of, I guess it was supposed to be like Brooklyn or something, which makes sense. Yeah. You're not going to see the skyline from every part of the city. But there were some shots where, you know, it was obviously a cassette. And you're like, I don't know. I feel like they could have done a little bit better with some of the establishing shots.
But anyway, it was good to see on the big screen, and it's still
it's a great movie.
It still holds up for me. So, I know we both watched this, The Princess, the documentary, which I think was, I can't remember if it was Sundance, and we weren't able to see it, but I was able to. I thought it was really good. I like the documentaries where there's no narrative. It is just sewn together clips at no talking heads, I guess I should say. It's just, here's what was on the news at the time. So I thought it was done really well.
Yeah, they let the news stories, the clips speak for themselves, which is great because it's so refreshing than seeing the same person going, and then we didn't know what Diana would do after Charles. Find out next.
Yes, she decided to wear the red dress anyway. But
you know, I love the royal family. I never... I think it stemmed from loving history, and I love the lineage, the idea of a king in England, that they've descended from the same bloodline for years, as obsolete as that system is. And I guess that just morphed into the last few years of, like, obsession, you know? They don't really do much.
They have so much
money and prestige and, like, respect, and they have, like, castles, and it's just crazy.
I don't know about the respect. But,
Well, in England, I guess there are a lot of people like really love the royal family.
Yeah. So, but it was good. So I recommend listeners to check it out. So there's nothing new groundbreaking that you're finding out about her. But I thought it was done well. So,
yeah.
My season finale was Westworld. And unsurprisingly, it just kind of petered out.
Was it bad?
No, just nothing has happened. You know, it's like they're coming back. It's more or less going back to square one. I think if we're going back to Westworld, I'm like, finally, like just.
I gotta watch that. You know, maybe I need to rewatch the entire series from the beginning. But I stopped watching the latest season of Westworld because it felt so choresome. And I remember sitting there 2 episodes ago and just thinking, like, why am I doing this to myself? I wasn't into it. I didn't care about any of the characters. So maybe I need to like jumpstart it, and
it is choresome.
Is it?
There's a lot of talking, and I'm like, I can't remember who's in whose robot body and who's alive and dead, and they keep going to the same sets, and I'm just like, just do something.
Same sets.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's either the town or like the laboratory, and I remember watching the last one or whatever 2 ones ago, and I was thinking, did I rewatch this? And I was like, no, I didn't. It's just like the same sets over and over again with the same characters, and not much is changing. It was kind of bizarre.
It's interesting. So season 3, they went to a more extravagant place. You know, I think it was Dubai and some kind of more futuristic places to kind of mix it up. And this season, it felt like the cheapo season. They went, you know, to the Four Aces, you know, desert set, you know, which everybody shoots at, you know.
Yeah, and, right. You know,
Or they went to the same place that the American Pie 2 College, which is also the Annabelle Asylum. Just like everybody is shot there, you know. Like,
I feel like it'd be funny if there's other sets filming there and they didn't edit it out.
They might as well not. I don't know. Right. It just felt kind of like weird. Oh, speaking of, I was surprised to see in Top Gun Maverick the Halfway House Cafe, which is also used in everything. It's the cafe out in Santa Clarita that's used in everything.
Waitress. Oh, wait, that was the bar in there?
Yeah, remember he parachutes somewhere or ejects whatever, and he shows up at this.
Oh, yeah. And the little kid's like, are you a spaceman?
Yeah. I was like, oh, there we go.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is interesting. What else was that used in?
Twilight Zone, Westworld, Waitress.
Yes, that's right.
Everything. It's required to show up in every third movie.
So. Sir, this is a new Star Wars movie. Yeah, you need to go to the halfway.
Yeah, this is the way it's going to be. So, but yeah, it's just kind of. I feel like I would not recommend going back to square one because you'll just take that trip downward and you'll hate yourself. So, just
don't do it.
Do something else. Put it on in the background. You can listen to what's going on.
Okay. Good advice.
As she goes down Hennessy Street from on the Warner Brothers rant or Warner Brothers studio lot, so the Annie orphanage is right there. they do nothing to hide it.
They're just keeping it in full frame.
Yeah, everything just seems kind of like, oh, obviously.
Was it because they were? Do you think the scouting location scouting agents were like kind of lazy and it was just available kind of thing?
That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, so, it sounds like
it.
Because
I was like, they did nothing to make it unique, but.
Yeah, I'm going to try to reboot it. I love the original movie. I love the first season. I enjoyed the second season for what it was. I really want to like the show. I think it can be very well done.
That's the thing. You want to like it, but they're making it really difficult. So speaking of difficult watch, Day Shift. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It's on Netflix.
I'm trying to think which one that is.
It is I figured out right at the end, it's supposed to take place in 1987.
Oh, really? Because
they go by a theater marquee, and it's like all 1987 movies. I'm like, oh, is this supposed to take place in? I missed something in the beginning or something like that. So.
Oh, it's the vampire one.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Dave Franco and.
Not good?
It is poor. You can take the F out of the title. I'll just tell you that.
Oh. Are they trying to be like a Blade kind of thing?
A funny, but you know, like literally everything is, it's just beyond telegraphed.
That's bad.
And then when they are killing vampires, it is like literally watching a video game. Like who cares?
Nobody. It's like too much going on.
Yeah, it's just nothing. Yeah. So
yikes.
I sat through it and of course looked for locations, but
you're a trooper.
I was a trooper. So, on the other hand, I did finally watch The Black Phone.
Yeah, how is that?
I enjoyed that. So I thought it was done pretty well. And same thing. Obviously, it is, I don't want to say low budget, but obviously minimal location. I mean, this is how you kind of do a quiet horror movie. Not a lot of people. You don't have, you know, you don't need a huge extravagant budget or special effects. And I thought it was done well.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely recommend that watch. Orphan First Kill.
How is it? It's like a little bit of gap from the original movie, so I'm curious like how it is.
It is. It's a
prequel,
very
right.
It is a prequel. It is very difficult to get past because in the original, the actress was. She was like what 13 playing a 33-year-old playing a 13-year-old or something like that.
Yeah.
And now she's like a 20-something-year-old trying to play
a 30-year-old playing a 12-year-old or something.
And they're doing their best to do it with they didn't do what do you call that?
The de-aging?
They did not. It's more or less her and Cameron Ingalls literally standing on her knees. And so it's hard to get past that. And then because there'll be her and you know, no matter what you do, she has an older face, you know, that's zero wrinkles, but you can just tell.
No, yeah, people, especially from 13 to 20 or whatever.
Yeah. And then they cut to, you know, a different shot and you can tell, obviously, it's an actual girl from behind. on the set. And so it's just, you know, so it's constant, you're constantly like jarred, you know, back and forth.
Yeah, and you then, can't stop it. You can help but just focus on that.
Correct. And then I kept hearing pre-reviews, you know, before it came, saying Julia Stiles kind of out batshits the orphan in the movie. I was like, well, what point? And so about halfway through, I was like, oh, there's a, I don't know what to call it, a twist, but something. I was like, oh, this is what this movie's about. So that little twist is probably worth it to me.
Oh, wow. Now I'm curious.
And Julia Stiles is the one, kind of the standout, because she plays the not new mother, but the prequel mother and stuff like that.
Wow.
And so she does a great job. So.
Oh, I'm on board with that. I'm curious now. Without getting anything away, does it take place in the orphanage?
No. So.
Okay.
Not quite. Yeah. So I'll just.
Okay.
Shows her kind of getting out of the Sarn Institute, or the West Island she was in, and kind of her first family and stuff like that. So they allude to it, admit that, like, oh, she, you know, there was a fire and stuff like that. So you kind of know how it will probably end, but the path to get there is a little different than I expected. So
interesting. Where was it shot? Was it shot in Canada?
I don't know, actually, now that you say that. I did not stop to look. I was engrossed in the movie.
A true sign of piquing your interest.
Believe it or not. So, also on the big screen, Grease 2. Speaking of 1982, so we had a big movie party, and everybody got Lays for the Rockahula Luau and little bowling pin keychains and sunglasses. So it was a nearly sold-out theater of singing along. And
yeah, and also you said they did some Olivia Newton-John clips before the...
They were before the show. Alamo was showing Xanadu videos and physical videos and stuff like that. So semi-related to Greece, but
Godspeed.
I have not obviously seen that since I was 12 years old on the big screen.
That's a big deal. A movie that you love so much that you saw once. It's like, I can't describe it. You know how it is. It's like very exciting. It's like seeing it again for the first time.
And a theater full of people that was, they also know every line.
Yeah, that's what you want.
In the movie. Almost to that. There was kind of a drunk gal that she got a little overboard towards the end.
She was drunk? But
yeah, so.
Was she slurring like off key? Like,
well, everything
I
was
got
like.
Chills.
She, let's say she really likes Maxwell Caulfield. So.
Oh, okay.
So the big kiss at the end, she's like, do it! You know, just like. Oh,
jeez. Anything with drunk people at concerts and movies, it's funny for like 2 minutes. And then after a while, you're like, oh, I paid money for this, man. You got to shut up.
That being said, she did take a picture with me after the movie.
With you?
Yeah, well, I was wearing my Grease 2 crew jacket that they gave out to the crew.
Oh, okay.
So she was excited to see that. And so I.
Yeah, no, that's you're a good sport.
I played along, so. And then finally, just last night, on the big screen, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
They saved the best for third.
In 35 millimeter. So.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's really, really cool.
And I also went with my mentee, and I said, who knows what shape the print is in, because I remember to see Alien, and Alien, the whole movie was pink. Because it was so old. It was just like, looked awful.
It had a pinkish hue.
Yeah. So, but this was, once you got past the beginning of the reel, where it was kind of scratched, it looked fantastic. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So.
And isn't Nightmare on Elm Street, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It just looks good.
Isn't Nightmare on Elm Street 3 considered like the best one in the series, or one of the best ones?
It's
like,
one of the reviews? Best. It's usually considered the best sequel, and it's the one that really just propelled it into.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like number one, I think, for 2 or 3 weeks, and it just really kind of became Freddy the star. It's where it kind of became mainstream.
Right, because the third one, it starts to venture into sequelitis territory. And if you look at the timeline, they just kept making those movies, like, one after another. And, it's interesting to see that this one had, I think it was like 75, 80% or something, Rotten Tomatoes. It was... somewhere high. It was like it's a good sequel.
It is. Now you look back, watch it, and I'm like, oh, it's nowadays it would be too slow for people, believe it or not.
I know. I know.
There's like too much talk, and I'm like, oh, why do they keep talking to the nun? And I don't know why this time I realized, I was like, the Dream Warriors, and they, you get to the final, 15 minutes, and each Dream Warrior is killed off in like 3 minutes.
They're dispatched one by one.
You think you're all that, but you're like literally you're killed almost immediately.
Yeah, the best kill is the TV one, right?
Yeah, that's obviously
that's early on.
Yeah, she's still at
the actress.
Yeah, at the Weston Hills hospital.
Right, right.
But yeah, I remember and reading in Fangoria magazine that Heather Langenkamp was coming back as Nancy in the new Nightmare on Elm Street, and I was like so excited. It was all my dreams. I'm like, I can't believe it was. It was like Laurie Strode coming back, you know, for Halloween 2018. I was like,
oh yeah,
she's coming back.
She's top five there.
I can't believe it. And her hair was huge and typical 1987.
Totally.
But so I was thinking of you because, of course, the movie starts with Patricia Arquette and she's building the Elm Street house. And what does she have besides, you know, she gulps in her grounds of coffee right into her mouth, but chases it with a Diet Coke right there on the big
so
screen.
Good.
I was like, that's what did it. I was
product placement proof.
Diet Coke continues to be king for the past.
The 1987
years.
Marketing worked on you.
Yeah. That's it. I can't drink enough Diet Coke because I'm going to be just like Kristen.
Yeah, and then the addiction started, and that's how they hooked you.
Yeah. So obviously, that was my first Elm Street to see in the big screen when I was young, and so obviously it means a lot to me. And as I've said before, I remember the first time I saw the Elm Street house. It was so huge. I've never seen it beyond my 25-inch TV at the time.
Yeah. No, to see that first time is. Yeah. I mean, that's incredible.
The second time I saw it on a projected screen was in 2007, so 20 years later, and that was my experience to have Heather Langenkamp and Amanda Wiss sitting right in front of me the whole movie.
Yeah, so cool.
And I was just like weirded out. I mean,
yeah, no,
kind of fangirled out. So
yeah, yeah, for sure. I remember you talked about that before, and just to have them close, it's
And then 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago next week, I think. I went to Whiskey A Go Go and went to a script reading with most of the original cast for Dream Warriors as well.
Nice. That's so cool. At the Whiskey?
Yeah. So, I think pretty much, I mean, Robert was there and Heather and Langenkamp, of course. Patricia Arquette was not there, but I think Tuesday Night from Elm Street 4 came in and did her part, if I remember.
Yeah, but to have Heather and Robert there,
that's pretty cool. Brooke Bundy.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Another, yeah. So
is 3 the one where the house lights up at the end?
Yes.
Ding. The creepy. Ding.
Now, I was the nerdy kid. I made my own house. Paper.
Did you? Did you put a light inside?
I think I did.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of those. I was counting how many popsicle sticks it took and all that fun stuff. So
I bet you were a good arts and crafts kid, it sounds like. You're very resourceful.
I was. I like to say so. But yeah, so I don't know what that obviously probably got destroyed along the way somewhere, but
it's on eBay for $400.
People do make them now and sell them for quite a bit, but
oh, I bet.
But yeah, I mean I watch that movie and it's one of those I know every line. I know which lines are in the trailer.
Oh, really? You're that in tune. So you've probably seen it at least 10 times.
More than that, because I'm like, you know, she's like, he's real. I can name every trailer for it. And anyway,
yeah, no, that's so cool. What were they showing where you texted me or sent me a picture of Freddy's Dead?
Oh, so yeah, before they were showing that was at the screening. So usually what Alamo does before these kind of special shows, they have different things. And so they had Elm Street commercials from the time and, you know, the 800 phone numbers, $2 a minute, you know, or
yeah, of course,
whatever. And one of them was like, send a P.O. box to Omaha, Nebraska. And we're like, what's that about? So, and then they showed a trailer for Freddy's Dead. They saved the best for last.
It'll never get old to me. You know, what's funny is I saw your post yesterday on Facebook about you going to the movie. And then I was literally thinking Freddy's Dead, the best for laugh, had a little chuckle, and then you messaged me that. I was like, I was just thinking about that. And then I remember thinking, like, why'd I admit that? What a fucking loser I am. It's like Friday night. I'm like, I was just thinking about that. I wasn't watching it, but yeah. I was thinking about it.
Well, here's the thing. The trailer looks, you know, always God bless the trailer editors. They can make any piece of shit look like we better go see this. This one looks decent, you know. Yeah, even seeing the trailer, I was like, oh, well, maybe I should, you know, give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
So I've been watching way too much. So what have you been watching?
Okay. No, those are good choices. So it's been over a week or two since we did the last show, but I did watch the Better Call Saul series finale, which I thought was good. It wasn't great, but I appreciate what they did with it. I won't give any spoilers, but my only criticism is they kind of teased you with things that you expected Saul to do. Maybe this was the point. Mm-hmm. But then he kind of went another direction, and you're like, "Yeah, it doesn't really feel like something Saul would do."
Oh, gotcha.
You know. So, but it was good. It was good. I did watch Friday the 13th Part 3 for the anniversary.
All right.
And unfortunately, the movie's no longer there. No. I did find a police discrepancy, Robert.
All right.
Okay. No qualms about the uniforms in there. They're great. However, do you remember the scene where they go to Harold and Edna's?
Mm-hmm.
They fight the bodies, and the van's driving by, and they're looking out, and they're seeing them. The police roll up there. Are you with me?
Yep.
As the cops get there, the coroner or the ambulance, the paramedics, are loading the body into the ambulance. On an active homicide scene, you would call the police, and detectives would show up, and they wouldn't touch anything. But as the cops get there, they're like, "Hey, we found these dead bodies. We're just rolling them in there.
Get them out of here."
Wouldn't happen. Wouldn't happen.
It's Crystal Lake. You know, they.
but I have a solution that's going to help me not harp on this.
Okay.
The detectives were already there. They left. The cops there had another call, or they left, and the police were responding to take over the crime scene, you know, to watch for evidence, kind of thing. That's my solution.
But you're probably right, because they had their sirens going. And where were they coming from?
Right.
You know, it's obviously it's it's noon at this point.
right.
I think I was like, yeah, where were you guys? Thanks. That, you know, we could add some dialogue. Thanks for showing up, guys.
Get lost, greaseball.
We've been here 6 hours.
Thanks for showing up. You're right, though. They did have the sirens, so that could be.
They were just inept. So actually, I'm going to be seeing that in the big screen in 3D in a couple weeks. So.
And at the Alamo.
At the Alamo.
Wow, these great screenings there.
They're kicking it this year.
I mean, really. I mean, that's like Friday the 13th is a kind of a rare choice, you know? It's not like a mainstream movie for the masses.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to show that's pretty cool.
So I'm excited. So,
that's exciting. So I watched Friday the 13th Part 3, always enjoyable. I watched the first two episodes of Mike on Hulu.
What is Mike?
It's Mike Tyson miniseries.
Okay.
It's kind of like an I, Tonya kind of treatment.
Okay.
So, do you know what I'm saying?
Margot Robbie's playing Mike Tyson is what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, it's good. It's not great.
It's like amplified.
Yeah.
Mike,
yeah. He does it in the form of a one-man show, and he kind of stops and talks to the camera during scenes. So, it's interesting. So, okay. We'll see.
Let me know whether it's worth the time.
Yeah, first two episodes, second one really started hitting its groove, so we'll see.
Okay.
But it was good. I watched What Really Happened to Richard Simmons last night.
I've seen the trailer, and I was like, do I want to commit to this? I don't know. So, do I?
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. It really makes you feel for him. I actually met him right before his hibernation, I guess I could say. I was leaving a kind of an event at some house, and he was walking in, and I was leaving with two buddies, and he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going home." He goes, "Why?" I was like, "All right, good night, sir." I was like, I wasn't even trying to get involved.
And good night.
Yeah, he was just kind of a weird guy, but I thought it really kind of makes you understand maybe why he went into hiding. You know, you talk to 4,000 people a week about their problems. It's going to kind of catch up to you, so... I used to watch Richard Simmons.
Yeah, I used to watch his talk show religiously.
Really?
This is like 80s, his morning show or whatever it was, I think, during the summers and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Did you ever sweat to the oldies?
I don't really did. I think in the 80s, everybody did a little bit, even no matter what age, you know, and that's why all the kids were anorexic back then, I think. But it was born into us. between him and Jane Bond is like, yeah, everybody is, you can never be thin enough.
Right.
But yeah, I just remember he was just kind of, yeah.
What I didn't realize about Sweatin' to the Oldies is obviously I remember it as a kid on infomercials and stuff. But how big it was, it sold, they were talking on the documentary, like $200 million that first one brought in. It was like the highest selling workout video ever. He was just killing it in the late 80s.
They should, now that you say that, I'm like, you should bring him into somehow physical season 3.
Yeah, that's
what he'd be do. A good fit.
To, yeah, loop him in.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, what really happened to Richard Simmons was it was interesting. It was done by TMZ, but it didn't really feel like a TMZ documentary, which is good.
Are they doing that now? All right.
Yeah, I don't know. All the TMZ people were there, but it didn't feel like a TMZ episode. It felt respectful. What's his name? Bruce, the guy that always wears the shirts and has the ridiculous hair.
Yeah,
Bruce Valanche was in there.
Yeah. I'm still like, it was TMZ, but it was respectful.
I know, I couldn't believe it. Because I was, you think it's going to be like, and then what happened next?
Richard Simmons, and then he did this.
Yeah, but they really talked about like the toll it took on him, and they had people that knew him. Or know him, so.
Yeah.
It was good. And then I watched The Princess, which we talked about. So, gotcha. Some good things, some okay things.
I try to think what's next. I don't know what's coming next.
Yeah, what are you on the docket?
Next month, the Handmaid's Tale new season starts. So that will be our, we'll see how different it is than our actual current lives in the United States.
But, oh, yeah. It's always like, the litmus test.
It's the same now.
I know.
It only took 5 seasons, and now we're at the same point.
Yeah, we're here. I know.
Was it Andor? When's that coming, the new Star Wars series?
It would have to be...
I'm not sure.
It would have to be, like, October, right?
I think so. And then I guess Cobra Kai will be starting up. So, so we have some stuff happening.
There's going to be good stuff.
And The Stand.
And The Stand.
My friend I was talking to is like, do you guys have to talk about The Stand every episode? I'm like, yes, we do.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do. It could be a very somber, sad episode, and we'll go, yeah, very sad, kind of like that scene in The Stand.
It's The Stand, yeah.
Country don't mean dumb. And Uncle Sam's buying all the drinks. Okay. What a tell. I have a Karen story for you.
You were Karen, or you had a Karen?
I saw a Karen in the wild.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Like a live Karen in the wild.
Oh, gotcha. In L.A.?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and I don't remember really ever seeing one that close to me. I certainly don't provoke or touch them in the wild. So, but there was a Karen. I was at the grocery store, and I was waiting in line, and a Karen was behind me, and, she started talking to me unsolicited, just pretty patient guy. I'm not really trying to, the line was long, but, so she says, this line is ridiculous. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of long. And she goes, every time I get here, it's just, there's nobody working. So I'm thinking, oh, maybe I can like provoke her a little bit to get some kind of like viral video happening. So the guy in front of me.
You've spoken like a true LA person, but go
ahead. Yeah, yeah. Well,
I turn this into
spotlight
for me?
Not me. I'm not going to call her out and be rude to her, but I want to fan the flames.
Yeah.
So this guy in front of me helped me, and he turned around. And he goes, every time I'm here, it's ridiculous. It's too long. And I was like, yeah, it's too long. We shouldn't have to do this. And that set her off. And she cuts in the out of the line. She walks all the way up to the cash register. And I'm like, oh, shit, it's on now. As she's walking up, another register just happens to open up. And the guy's light goes on. She goes up to the guy. And she doesn't see that the register, that lane has opened.
Yeah.
So he's like, he realizes that. And she goes, don't you have anybody else? This is so ridiculous, this line. And the guy taps at his thing. He goes, lady, I'm open. Why aren't you in this line? Turning the tables on her, she was so embarrassed because she thought she just missed this open line, yeah, like we all did. But it was hilarious because she was like knocking the cart, was almost like knocking things over. Like she takes her cart with her. And you know, lanes at the supermarket.
Yeah.
You can only fit one cart in there.
Yeah.
So she's like trying to like get a cart in between. It was just, it was amazing.
Amazing to see.
Yeah.
Maybe so, you were in the middle of an improv group and you didn't know it. You know?
Something was happening. But you, I thought of you, and you used to see people without a mask, and you go, oh, gross, or something like that.
I had nothing else to say to her yet, so.
Yeah. Karens, though, they're just, they're funny. And I wanted to bring up Gary Busey's in the news again. We all know he was accused of some kind of sexual misconduct or whatever the other week. But this week, he was caught with his pants down, urinating in a park. His pants were down to his ankles at the park. Mm-hmm. And this plays on to what we've always known, like Gary Busey's crazy, he had a brain injury, whatever. But like, what is he doing? I mean, I think he's like in his 80s. He's fondling girls. His defense was, I was only with them for 10 seconds, which, yeah, things can happen in 10 seconds. Like, that's the point. But then he's caught with his pants down. I mean, he's like, he's been out of the news for so long, and now he's like, he's back in. Have you heard about anything?
So obviously, as horror convention rounds, you know, that came up, you know, and then immediately people are like, oh, he's always been a perv and whatever. I'm like, all right, then you just don't let him get away with it, or you don't invite him, you know, to be a guest, whatever. So,
and then what was he there for? Like Silver Bullet or something?
I don't know. It was Munster Manning Convention, and they get a decent amount of people, and and he'd probably be somebody who's like, oh, he's been something I like, so I would probably get a picture with him too at some point. But, but then I was like, so and so is also. I mean, you hear about the people that are a little gropey or something like that, but. But yeah, then I saw, it was like a week or later. I was like, and here's the pessimist meaning is like, either as a good PR team say, you need to do something even crazier to deflect, to say, oh, he needs help versus, he's a, you know.
He's a pervert.
Perv, yeah. So
that's what I think. I think it was a stunt to deflect. Yeah. And I don't know what he did. I think it was touching inappropriately, but. I don't know. I'm not a big fan. I met him like 2011. He was really rude to me and my girlfriend at the time for no reason. And I don't know, man. I got a really weird vibe from him. Like he wasn't all there.
I don't think he ever. I don't know. But was he in Predator 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe he's a good actor. He's a good character actor. He just. I don't know. Yeah. I just want to know what he was at this convention for. Like, what horror movies has he been in with? Like, Silver Bullet's all I can think of.
I don't know. Now that you say,
Corey Haim.
He's been in, and look what happened to him.
I know, right?
now, when I put Gary Busey horror, all that shows up is the horror convention. So,
oh yeah, right.
So Silver Bullet, I guess Predator 2. Piranha Double D he was in.
Oh, okay. That's probably it.
Oof. Sharknado 4, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. It's valid to be there.
Yeah, but not.
Have you been to this Cherry Hill convention before?
Just a couple times, and now it's gotten crazy big. Like, it's...
Really?
Yeah, I've seen, like, they... it is, like, too big. Sometimes there's been multiple times, I think, where they've had to, you know... Everybody has to evacuate because the fire marshal said it's like over capacity and back and forth. It's just like, it's just
really,
it's too much. So yeah. So I've been a couple times and primary is like, they get really good people, but then it's joyzy. And I'm like,
yeah,
no,
it's right. It's right across the bridge from Philadelphia.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, you have to fly into Philadelphia, which you know how much I love that airport. And
oh yeah. Is it a bad airport? I mean, I've been there a million times, but it's so, you know,
it's old and yuck. Yeah. Well, last time I was there. So, and then you go across to Jersey and like, that's not even a good part of Jersey. You know,
What was the last time you've been to the Philadelphia airport?
Probably for Madonna, like 2015.
Okay.
Yeah,
since you've been there, they've upgraded it. So when you get off the terminals, when you arrive, the whole corridor is filled with, you would actually like it. It was filled with movie posters of all the movies filmed in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Like,
no, I don't remember that.
It's really kind of cool. Okay. But yeah, it used to be terrible. There was always like asbestos, like you would see the open like ceiling. Like it was awful.
It was impossible to get out of there.
Yeah. It's a mess. But, okay. So is it MonsterCon?
Monster Mania. Right. But yeah, they get great people. It's just like, it's, I feel like I'm now too old for that convention.
Really?
To put up with it, yeah.
Okay, and that brings us to a segment called Back to School, where Robert and I are going to tell you the best deals at Target and Walmart to get your back to school supplies. Let's start with Walmart in Omaha. 2-for-1 deals for all pocket protectors.
Do people's kids still buy back to school supplies? What do they need? Just a USB charger?
I don't know. I'm so curious about that because I see the advertising and I'm at Target a lot and I see like back to school and I'm like, don't they just need their phone?
Yeah, I think that's it now. So
yeah,
show up, please. That's all.
I used to love the first week of school. I hated the second week and every other week, but the first week it was like you're excited. You have like new like stuff. Like it was fun.
And then reality hits.
Yeah, and then you're like, homework? And then you have teachers that assigned homework the first day, and you're like, come on, dude.
It's supposed to be an ease-in week.
Right. Exactly. So do you were you a big back-to-school guy?
I was probably a goody-goody, so I probably, I don't know. You always, you're nervous because you're like, what's my new teacher going to be like? You know, am I going to be in the same class as my friends? And, you know, who knows?
Right, you don't know what's going to happen. I bet you were a good student, like a straight A student.
I was pretty good. It came pretty easily for me.
The genius.
So it was fine. I don't have bad memories, but I also like I wasn't excited necessarily to.
Yeah, you weren't like yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
But also, I was like, we were talking about it as like you know, you think about what high school was going to be like, and we just had like Grease and Grease 2 to compare. What high school was going to be look like. It was nothing like that.
No. Yeah. What a sham.
We looked half.
Yeah. I thought high school would be like Saved by the Bell because I watched Saved by the Bell as a kid. And I'm like, it's going to be like, great. We'll be able to like go out to get burgers like during class and stuff like that. No.
Nothing.
There's cut day.
Nothing like that. So.
Right. So, okay. So this is back to school. These are the best movies that have taken place in school or are school related. And we're going to kick off, Robert. What are these first two entries here?
Well, I have Grease and Grease 2 because obviously you think of high school and Grease 2 in particular, it opens with Back to School, the song. So it just does not get any more appropriate than that. So I know you just pulled up Grease, the filming locations, Venice High School.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever done Grease that I can remember. So I wanted to crowbar it in.
Yeah, so I don't know. I haven't revisited this page in a while. So obviously they start with their summer romance on the beach. But then, there's Right Out of Hell.
And there's some debate if this was named after Bobby Rydell.
I assumed so, but I don't know. So when I went there, it was still pretty much intact. I know since my visit, they've done even more renovations. So nothing too much kind of looks like.
Nothing too extreme.
Rydell too much in Boren. So Rizzo, Stalker Channing. Thank you. Stalker Channing at the ripe old age of 34 playing.
I know. It's great. She's great.
Yep. So, and then when you go to the back of the high school, of course, that is John Marshall, the Elm Street School, but obviously I was able to get on the field for the carnival. So, but yeah. Aww.
Grease is certainly maybe the best school-related movie.
Oh,
it's top three.
The most fantasy version, I guess.
The most realistic, actually.
Grease 2 and the school, that kind of looks the same, you know, but this was a shot out in Norwalk, and I've been there a couple of times. And
is Norwalk where the golf place is from Karate Kid?
Yes, golf and stuff is not too far from this. And this is the spot where, actually, in the back, you'll see later is where they shot Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so kind of by the cool rider spot. So my last trip, I was able to get inside, and so I was able to get some good shots.
Yeah, you gained entry.
I did, and but yeah, so I've been multiple times where I recreate the shots of Michelle Pfeiffer, and so right where the cool rider is, kind of right to the right of there, that's where the scene where Brad Pitt beats up what's his name?
Bruce Lee.
Yep.
It played like the studio lot.
Yep, yep.
I can see that. Yeah.
So I remember in the theater, I was like, I know this place. This is not a movie studio.
Yeah, right. That's a good find though.
Yep. So So even went to the biker where he built his bike. The Bullarama has been long gone, but I found some old Google Street View shots. The Cadillac Jacks next to the Pink Motels, used in quite a bit of things, and there's like always a security guard there now, so I think they're just they don't want anybody ever taking pictures.
I wanted to go there and film something, and they, I guess you can't
I'm sure you can't, so I don't think they would even let me come and take pictures anymore. So
is it a working hotel or just
I don't know, I don't think so, but yeah, every time I've like driven by, I was just like, there's security and stuff like that. I'm like, well, I'm not gonna mess with that, but
yeah. Yikes.
But yeah, a lot down in Norwalk and kind of Bellflower, and some Griffith Park running through and so forth.
Now closed to vehicular traffic.
Before, you could just drive right up there.
Right. Yeah, they closed, they made these roads in the past month only accessible. Yeah, because like people were getting hit and stuff.
Oh,
so now you can only really just bike through them or walk.
Interesting. Well, what am I supposed to do now? If I want to get I need my more Grease 2 shots.
We'll have to get some fake bikes.
I know the Grease 2 fan site was really excited that I got these shots of them. I found where they showed them biking around the neighborhood.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are great shots. Where's this at, sir?
This is same place. So this is it was Excelsior High School. Now I think it's adult high school of some sort. So, and me continuing to recreate all my shots. And
I like when you do that.
But yeah, so obviously I went a little all out on this one. And then if you go down, this is one of my first celebrity autographs.
Oh, Michelle
Pfeiffer.
My favorite. Her and Rachel McAdams, my top two.
Your top two?
Oof. Yeah.
I loved Michelle Pfeiffer. So.
Oh, yeah.
And there's Eddie Deason.
Oh. Oh, hey, Robert, what's going on? Let me lick your face. Oh, didn't he, like, what did he do when you saw him here? Didn't he do something weird to you?
Yeah, he was like, I wasn't going to pick her. And I'm like, well, I'm a completist. I should get a picture with Eugene. And he is like, well, let's take a picture. And he literally, like, how could you, let's. Trying to get this close, and he literally did forehead to forehead, and I'm like, it's still 2022, you know, this is COVID, there's so many, like, let alone body space.
The body space alone, but like with COVID, and
then I think
I just talked to 50 fans, let me get in your face.
I was like, oh my god, and I think it was like a week later he got erected in a IHOP or something for doing something, but
yeah, he was stalking a server.
Yeah. Oof.
So, yeah.
But one of my regrets, but
no, but that's funny. You got it. I remember you told me, I think I saw you that week. You put a forehead to you. I'm like, who does that?
It's like, get away from me. I'm like, I'm sorry. I even met you. Eugene.
Oh gosh. Okay. So if you're listening to, and you're not watching, please go to setjitter.com and you can take a look at these shots as well. In fact, we'll pause for 30 minutes while you load up your computers.
It does take a while, but yeah.
Okay, so next this is a favorite of mine. I saw this theatrically with my father, not realizing the entire scope of the content.
Now, I'm betting you were a teenager at the time.
I was 17.
And we're talking about American Pie.
18. American Pie. I have the page up as well. This was released on July 9th, 1999.
And I was at the ripe old age of 29.
That's awesome.
But it was kind of this kind of felt like, you know, at the time, now it seems relatively tame. It was a kind of back to kind of Porky's type thing. So
what was Chris Klein's character's name?
I don't remember.
Okay.
He's from Omaha. I know that, but otherwise.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
We talked about this entry before where the houses are all in like Pasadena except for the Long Beach one.
Yeah, there's a couple of Long Beach houses, and then one's in Pasadena, and one, they're all over the place for who knows what reason. Monrovia is kind of the, and I get Monrovia is often used because it is kind of like Sierra Madre, you know, you have that little four block city block, and look, could be anywhere and so forth, but.
And it works.
Yeah, yep, so.
American Pie, though, is still the best entry in the franchise.
Yeah, they kept trying, you know, American Pie 2, and they're like, three. But 2 was college, 3 was the wedding, I think.
Yeah, that's the scene where they did the song from Flashdance in the bar.
And you're then, like,
what are they doing?
I remember American Pie the Reunion, and that was like another decade later or something after the rest that they tried to. But yeah, never quite hit the heights of, and actually there is actually more American Pie movies, but. Because remember, they franchised it in a way, but they're not really tied to these people.
No, they're not.
And I've not seen them.
It had a good soundtrack at the time. It was like appropriate. I was digging the music.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, so it's a decent movie. So, also not the high school experience I had. I don't know about you.
No, not at all. No, not at all. My high school experience was more like this next one, The Breakfast Club, and that spent a lot of time in detention.
Did you?
My senior year, I did.
Oh, what? You were a bad boy?
No, I was never bad, but I was an adult as a senior, and I got all my credits done, and I knew it was just like a lame duck. So the last half of senior year, I really just kind of blew things off and like cut class because, you know, I was going to college, and to me, it didn't really matter. I was like, I'm not going to fail. And
yeah.
So I kind of just, I got a lot of detention. I was never rude or bad or anything. I just like cut class, and they were like, Mr. Clark. And I'm like, yep. All right. So Breakfast Club is next on our list. A classic.
It is. I was just turning 15 when this movie came out. So it was tailor-made for my age group to have that out. You know, there was the golden era of John Hughes and.
Oh, yeah.
Best soundtrack, or one of the best soundtracks at the time.
Won't you come see about Robin?
but yeah, and now it's a little creaky. You find a way to study, mister.
Well, the principal would be hauled to jail today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's lots of stuff that they wouldn't, yeah.
Yeah, but,
and I don't think you can even have Saturday schools now. I'm sure that's illegal, too. But
right. No. I have a quick funny story about Paul Gleason, the principal.
Yeah.
I was in a short film in Pennsylvania as an extra at the Washington Valley, Washington Crossing Park, where Washington crossed the Delaware.
Familiar with that?
What's that?
I'm familiar. We used to have picnics there.
Oh, really?
Delaware Crossing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The tower, yep.
Yeah, exactly. So I was there for a short film. They needed extras in the area, and I like showed up. It was an independent film. And Paul Gleason was in it, but I didn't know who he was really at the time because, you know, The Breakfast Club was 25 years before, and I didn't realize he was in it. So we were in this, like, tent, all the extras, and he came in dressed as George Washington because he was playing a George Washington impersonator in the movie. And he sat down next to me, and I just thought he was a George Washington impersonator doing the Delaware Crossing because it was in December.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, how's it going? He's like, good. And he's like, oh, it's fucking cold. And I'm like, yeah. And all these people kept walking up to him and seeing like, I'm a big fan. You're such a great guy. And I was like, wow, these people really love history. Like they really
he's
love.
He's a good cosplayer.
I was like, you're really, you know, you play a good George Washington. And he was such a good sport about it. He was never like, oh, I'm like a star. I'm a celebrity. Yeah. And then he like left and did a scene or whatever. And I found out like later when I saw the IMDb, I was like, oh, that was Paul Gleason. I was like having lunch with him. And I just thought he was an enthusiastic GW.
That's funny.
I was like, wow, these people really love Washington Crossing.
These people love George Washington.
They really love George Washington. but we're looking at Robert's page here. This is a great shot. And I always love that the pole is still here. I assume it's the same one. I always look.
I can't remember.
Old pages, I always try to see what's the same.
Yeah, sometimes the house behind is for this particular shot that looking across, that's the only, I think the pole's moved, but you can still see the house kind of through the trees. So
yeah,
I feel like, yeah, it would be better to go back in November, you know, so you can see kind of what it looks like. But
see what happens.
Yeah, so the exterior of the high school, it pretty much looks still the same. They added some handicap.
This is in Illinois, right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I was out there for a Madonna show, and one of my nice. Friends took me around to a lot of the Chicago locations. So,
and here's you with Anthony Michael. That's a cool chance to do
and
it.
And I'm wearing a Halloween shirt, and this was well before he was ever in a Halloween.
Yeah, before his best known role, which of course is Halloween Kills.
You were
foreshadowing. You knew he was going to be
I
in
knew.
That.
I was just like, hey, you're going to be in the, I think you'd make a great Tommy Doyle. Just putting that out there.
And he scratched his chin and went, I want to think about that.
Actually, I don't know if he's really a great Tommy Doyle. But
I don't know about that.
That's something
else. That's neither here nor there.
But yeah, Breakfast Club, obviously, it's, you know, him and Molly Ringwald. And I mean, yeah, everybody. It was also, none of them look like teenagers at all now. But
right. No, not at all.
But
I feel like Breakfast Club's a great movie. I love revisiting it. But there are some scenes where it's like a little uncomfortable, like with, is it Judd Nelson?
Mm-hmm.
Who, when he's like screaming about his dad and hit me and all that, it's like, it's powerful and it works. But you're kind of like, oh man, you just went from, yeah, this guy's a dick to, you're like, oh, I feel so much empathy for him.
Yeah.
You know? And then he becomes a dick again. It's like weird.
Yeah. And they're still inappropriate with women.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Remember the janitor? The janitor is like my favorite. He's so salty.
Yeah, and there's little clue. I mean, I think the first time, yeah, you didn't notice all those things that he was the football quarterback or the Emilio Estevez of the school. Like if you see his picture and trophies in the case, and now he's the janitor and all that stuff. So, but
yeah, it's interesting. Those little Easter eggs.
Yep. So I did have one Saturday school in my high school career. That was it. So.
Was that a detention?
Yeah.
Did you actually have to go in on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, ours was always like, after school till like for an hour. If I had to do Saturdays, I would have been the best behaved kid ever.
It was exactly like the Breakfast Club.
Terrible.
You just did nothing or homework or something like that. So
I feel like I would have manipulated myself out of that. Like Saturday, I volunteer. I remember the Alamo.
You'd have found a way. I'm volunteering down at the Delaware Crossing.
I'm giving another kidney, sir. You don't have more than two. At one Delaware Crossing.
But I still watch it here and there. So actually, I did watch it on the big screen several years ago. They had a anniversary screening, I think.
See, that's where I like to see it on the big screen. Yeah. I've seen it enough where I'll watch it here and there, but big screen is pretty good. Actually, it will be on the big screen at my church next Friday, but I'll be in Philly.
Okay, gotcha.
Interesting choice. Next is, and I don't know if you know who runs that business, but it ain't the Boy Scouts. And this is, I think, Rodney Dangerfield's best movie. It's Back to School.
Back to School. It is probably his most, not mainstream, but, you know, everything works still, and it is held up, and he's not overbearing. Too much. So.
Yeah, he's not overbearing. It's got a great supporting cast. We just lost, what's that actress's name in there?
Sally Kellerman.
Sally Kellerman passed away. Was she in The Big Bus?
She was in The Big Bus. She was in All the Greats. Yes.
Yeah, she was in All the Greats. And it has Duran Duran or Oingo Boingo with Danny Elfman in there and a young Iron Man. Like, it's a fun. Sam Kinison's in it. There's just, it's just such a great
one of the professors that I went
why?
To see Sam.
Why? Because Truman was too much of a pussy to let MacArthur go in there and blow him up. I'm going to keep my eye on you. Good answer.
You know, I went to see Sam Kinison in concert.
Did you really?
In Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah, I was a Sam Kinison fan back way back then. So
yeah, that's incredible. He's an icon.
But yeah, so yeah, Back to School. And we always say this, obviously it has a tie to Halloween because he has the party. Is it Sally Kellerman's house? Or I don't know. There's some party that takes place at the Doyle residence from Halloween.
What's the what's the scene? The party where they're all in there?
Yeah, there's some party. And I think that's kind of the establishing shot. They kind of show the party happening.
It's the party where the band's playing.
Yeah. So
that's a Danny Elfman on stage there.
It must be. So
yeah. That's a cool tie-in.
But yeah, so Back to School. I haven't seen it in a while, but I guess it's back. It's Back to College, I guess, is what we're saying here.
Right. That's Back to College.
Yeah.
Next is a rare entry in the fact that we're going to movielocationsandmore.blogspot.com.
Ooh, it's that old. I'm not updated.
No, it's a good one. This is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, I have not updated this. So random, like this. Non-screen matching shots.
No, it's cool. I like
so,
it.
I think some of these were more or less in walking distance of my hotel at the time. So I thought, in Chicago, I'll do some Ferris Bueller shots.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I should update this because I just met earlier this year the parking lot guy.
Cool. The guy that took the joyride.
Yeah,
in Ferrari.
Yeah. So he was one of those like, do I need to meet him or whatever? And he was super nice at the Hollywood show. So I'm glad I met him. But
this is Mr. Peterson. I'm calling about Sloan.
Now, this one has not held up for me as much because there's a lot of annoyances.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
me in this movie that I was just like, oh, I don't really like these people.
Yeah, dude, I'm with you. I'm not a huge Ferris Bueller guy. It's not my go-to.
Yeah. But otherwise, and of course, and Long Beach, of course, you know, Illinois and Long Beach. Actually, I think Ferris Bueller's house is catty corner to one of the American Pie locations, or American Pie 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I think one of the houses they're painting American Pie 2 is like literally right across the street.
Oh, nice. Robert knows. And here he is, the fall from grace, Jeffrey Jones. Ugh,
yes.
Make sure he registers before he comes
no
to your neighborhood.
Like him. So actually, so I guess I went to more locations than I thought. So
yeah, you got quite an extent.
Yeah.
Is this this is Cameron's house?
Yeah, Cameron's house, and there's me in my day one outfit.
How did you find this house?
I think it's been known kind of where this house is. So
wow, nice job.
Thank you. So
okay.
I did love Edie McClurg as the secretary in this.
She's not doing too well these days.
She was a little
she has
out
a dementia
of it.
And
yeah, but
somebody took advantage of her or something.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, she's great.
That, so, but anyway, so I do need to update this page to a real site page. Thank you for the reminder.
But always keep movie locations and more alive so we can see the genesis, the evolution of the set jetter. Next on the list is Fast Times at Ridgemont High. What was that noise for?
No, I mean, it is good. No, I do enjoy this movie, but this is one of those that I probably will never update. This is a top 10 for other filming location enthusiasts that they'd love to go to Fast Times locations. So
yeah, you see that a lot.
Yeah. So it was what Van Nuys High School is mostly for that. So, but I think I did make a page for it, but.
I think it's bringing up the wrong link. Sorry.
Oh, gotcha. It might be. So we don't have to look at it. But yeah, so Van Nuys High School, also used in Sleepwalkers.
Classic
and,
King.
And other locations.
And,
so,
and
yeah,
this is the Galleria now, right? Mm,
yeah. So right across from the Pretty in Pink. Is that right?
Right.
Yep.
Yes.
So I don't have a picture of that, which I don't think it looks too much like it now. But yeah, I went to the abortion clinic, and which is
all valley shots.
I remember not being in the best spot.
Seedy.
Yeah, I was like, let's quickly get these pictures. So, and I think the hospital's long gone.
Help? Yeah. And you're like, no.
I'm good. Mm-hmm. Just taking some pictures of this fake abortion clinic, but thank you.
Yeah, can I just get the shot, please? do you watch Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
I have not watched it in years and years and years. So,
yeah.
It was a late night show that we weren't supposed to be watching at that age.
So on it went?
Yeah. So, of course, yeah, it was like kind of like they were doing naughty things and so forth. But yeah, for the most part, it does. I think it holds up as a snapshot in time. So,
right. Yeah. No, I agree. And it's good. Good snapshots of the valley as well.
Oh, yeah.
Next is a John Avildsen film, 1989's Lean on Me, with the great Morgan Freeman playing Joe Clark, who's my father.
I was wondering about that. No.
Lean on Me.
Is Morgan Freeman always been around? I mean, I just feel like was
he always shows up
in film. Yeah, you know.
I
haven't not watched this in a long time.
Show up. Even if he's not in there, he's like, I was on set today and now I'm coming in. And you're like, all right, yeah, come on in.
There's something else. I was like, so, an older movie, and he showed up as like, oh, he was just in everything, it seemed like. But
right. It's like Reginald Bell Johnson as a policeman. But like, he's on the lot. Just put him in here as a cop.
I have not watched Lean on Me in many, many, many years.
Me too. Yeah, it's been a minute. Next is, I don't know how good this movie is. It's Dangerous Minds. I've only seen it once, but it had Michelle Pfeiffer in it.
It's
kind of like Lean on Me for the 90s gangster rap scene.
Yeah. Stephanie Zanoni going back to high school.
Exactly.
I wonder if there's any Grease 2 little twists in there that I missed. I would have caught him, I think, so.
You would have picked
up. It's hard because it was just, I can't remember if the movie was a big hit. Obviously, the song was a big hit,
yeah,
you know, from Coolio at the time. So I'm not sure. I remember this was when they did special videos with the actresses.
Oh, yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer was like in the video.
Yeah. Which I forgot they showed, speaking of Dream Warriors, Patricia Arquette shot some special scenes for the video, for the Dokken video as well.
Like, that's right. Yeah. I YouTubed that last night when I was obviously stalking your page.
Yeah.
with Freddie's stuff. She did do that, which is cool.
Yeah. So it was kind of it was kind of weird because it starts with her talking and whatever. And it's very much acting. She's, you know, I was like, oh, it's a little creaky here, but
a little creaky.
Yeah. I've not watched the movie in a while. I'm sure it doesn't really hold up too well, or especially I'm sure gushing with white saviorism, but it also brought us to our next movie.
By the way, real quick, it has 33% of Rotten Tomatoes. So,
not doing well. So,
but it did bring us up to High School High.
I love High School
High. You like this movie?
I do. And I just watched it not too long ago. And it obviously it is right around that time. I remember he's listening, every radio station he switches, they're playing Gangster's Paradise. That was the only song that was on for a while, no matter what.
Always.
I love this movie. There's still lines that I'm still laugh at some of the things when I was watching it. So Louise Fletcher plays the principal.
Right, yeah.
There's still lines like, our vice principal is still missing. If you know his whereabouts or you have him, please contact
him. Remember they're at the dance and like, you want just to have a friendly dance? And like, yeah, okay. And they start like bumping and grinding. It has John Lovitz in it.
Yeah, I'm not a John Lovitz fan, but and him and Tia Carrere it is, and now I do have some regret. I was like, oh, I should talk to Louise about High School High.
Oh yeah, her finest work.
Yeah, she's like, I'm just curious to see what she thinks of that. She goes, it was a paycheck, I'm sure, for her. But
oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
I still enjoy it.
No, it is funny. Next on the list is one that Robert has covered before that we spoke about. It was Election, 1999. This came out May 7th, 1999.
Chris Klein, his first movie.
Was this his first movie?
Yeah, I think because a director just spotted him in the hallway of Millard North or wherever he was going to, I think, at the time. So.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So this was actually just a couple miles from my apartment that I lived in. And my parents, I remember we were just talking about this the other day, that they walked in to see them filming as the high school in the gym with all the kids and whatever. And I think somebody finally realized that they shouldn't be there and asked them to move along, please.
Ask them to skedaddle.
Yeah. So I have theirs, Godfather's.
Godfather's Pizza, which seems to be quite the patron of local institutions in Omaha, right? You've run to that guy like four times this year. Right?
The Godfather. Yeah. So he came a couple times this year. So he was really nice. And actually, he was actually very interested in my website. So since he's done acting jobs in LA and stuff.
Oh, cool. Now, is he the like spokesperson for him, or does he actually like, own the place?
There's been like three actors playing the Godfather over the years, so he's kind of the recent incarnation who does that. So,
oh, okay,
it's interesting. Like, actually, one time I saw him on the Warner Brothers backlot actually shooting a commercial for Godfather.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
did he say, "Hey, Robert"?
He's like, "Do you remember me?" No. But, yeah.
I want to talk to you about my new 2-for-1 specials.
Yeah. So here's actual Omaha, Nebraska filming location. So
I love it.
Yeah.
It's like a Twilight Zone episode when Robert's in Omaha doing locations.
This motel is probably about 2 miles from me right now. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Is it still the American Family Inn?
It is not. So, I should get better appropriate shots. So.
Oh, that's good.
And Matthew Broderick's house, I wish I was in that house, but now it's changed owners, so I can't go because they actually shot inside that house. But
oh,
I didn't
cool.
know
oh,
it,
yeah. So, I remember you spoke about that.
So.
Interesting.
Anyway, but election as a whole, it mostly shows up. I mean, holds up, I think, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I feel like I just saw something. Somebody wrote a sequel novel or something like that about Tracy Flick. So Reese Witherspoon's character.
Oh, cool.
I'll have to hunt that down.
What was her character's name?
Tracy Flick.
Tracy Flick.
Yes.
Okay. After election, we have Old School on the list. Old School is still one of my favorite comedies. It's funny. Blue, and I just love Will Ferrell. It's when Will Ferrell was like kind of at his peak and doing the awkward kind of like, "I'll see you later on. P.S. I love you." You know, like the deadpan Will Ferrell, like in his prime. It's still really funny.
And is this the one with Vince Vaughn?
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite
Jeremy Piven.
My Vince Vaughn moment that I like when he's on the rings and he's kind of like whatever, but he has a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah, he's doing the bar rings and he's like smoking.
That was one of my favorites.
Oh, so good.
I don't know why. I just kinda
that is a funny movie.
I
Will
think
Ferrell
it's
got the
up, yeah.
Yeah. Next on the back to school best summer movie, back to school movies is Summer School, which I feel like this had an anniversary recently, right?
I think it did. Yeah, it was 87, so it just had its 35th anniversary.
Yeah, here we go.
This year, so
July 22nd. I remember you posted about that.
Yeah.
So Summer School's this is a classic.
It is, and we both visited this school.
Yes.
Better known as the Karate Kid School or the Springwood High from Elm Street 2, and I'm sure it's been in many other things as well. But
indeedy.
Ocean View High, I think it's called, because there's shots where she's looking out the window and she's looking at the waves. So
I love it. I love the positioning.
LA people like, that's not even close.
Right. But to non-LA people, they're like, yeah, everything's right by the beach.
It is. Everything's by the beach in the movies. So it mostly holds up, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a funny movie.
It's a fun watch, so.
We talked about this in the last show, I think. Dean Cameron was always looking another way.
He is, yeah, no matter what, so.
No matter what. Next is 10 Things I Hate About You. This was a game changer for Heath Ledger and Julia Stiles, and this lot of quotable funny scenes. Although I haven't seen it in a while. I don't know how well it holds up.
I didn't like it at the time. I think it was like not meant for me, but.
Yeah. No.
I don't know. So I was way too old for it. So
yeah, there's a certain point where you're like, yeah, I'm not even gonna.
These people have nothing to do with me. So
right, 100%. These people have nothing to do with me. I don't care.
I'm too old now.
Next is Napoleon Dynamite. Now this is a movie that has aged poorly. I think there's a lot of there's some funny lines in there and some things that are eternally funny, but a lot of it was built on the awkwardness, and it's been kind of done to death at this point. Mm-hmm. So when you watch it, you're like, okay, I get it. So I don't know. I put it on the list though, because this was quite a powerhouse when it came out.
It's a school movie. But yeah, I didn't care for it at the time. And I think because it was maybe overhyped, but by the time I got around to it, but
how was school, Napoleon?
Worst day of my life. What do you think?
I'm going to go on the internet to talk to chicks. You know, when I saw this, I didn't know what year it was in. I was like, is this the 70s? But then the kid had the internet. So I was like, that's not the 70s. And then you realize, oh, it's just Idaho.
Like, they're that.
Yeah, it's just like bizarre. Because remember, it could have been like a 70s movie.
It did. Yeah. Well, it had that kind of look throughout, too. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe it was intentional too, to kind of create a little bit of a timeless, but
yeah, like if we slept over that kid's house, it would have smelled funny. I can guarantee that.
It totally would, and we want to be picked up right away.
Yeah, Mom, I need you to come get me.
Come get me. I feel sick.
And next is a movie I think we both love.
Oh yes.
And this was also a TV show, but we're talking about, of course, Heathers.
Yes, yes, and I haven't updated the page because I just met one of the football players. He was at the Hollywood show.
Patrick Laborito. Which one?
Yeah. Patrick, is it Laborito?
Oh, cool.
So I remember I asked him, I was like, what?
What did he say?
Yeah, well, I said, you know, I saw it in the theater because it really didn't hit big until video. But I said, you know, I saw it opening night in the theater. And I remember at the time we were quite, well, what is this? What tone? And then eventually we got, oh, this is the type of movie it is. But a lot of audiences, you know, as soon as Christian Slater fired that gun, then we're like, what are we in for?
Yeah.
And so I said, 180. Yeah, I said, did you know what it was the whole time? And he goes, most everybody did. And the people that did just, we as actors, that we all got it. And there was a couple that didn't quite know what was happening or what this movie was about. But they said, yeah, they were all on board. They knew exactly kind of this kind of black comedic comedy tone that they were going for.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. That's a good, really good point too.
But yeah, so we got the church in Pasadena, used in many, many films. Is this Turnout Lame or what?
Oh, it's such a good movie.
Also, the Corky Romano Church.
This one is?
Yes, it is.
That's so cool. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's awesome. Fortunately, the church is still there.
It is still there. I probably do need to add in, unfortunately. So they shot up at about 3 or 4 different schools. And one of the schools, you know, where he blows it up at the end of it, that is gone now. They built it for. So
unfortunately, it's still gone, there. But
now I am proud that I did find the Snappy Snack Shack. It took a long time for me. And more or less, if you can kind of see in the sign, you can, they covered up the AM.
AM/PM?
Yeah. Logo.
I know where
this
is. I know Laurel Canyon. I'm trying to think of the cross street.
I had to go through every AM/PM in the valley to find the one that had this bench and stuff like that.
Oh, so, wow. Great find.
It took me a while, but I found it.
You got it. Yeah, you can see the color scheme inside.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was looking for the bank across the street and like, BQ.
BQ. BQ.
They need to play this at Alamo. I think it would be a good...
Yeah.
So
you should be in charge of the director of the Alamo of content.
It would be all Robert movies. So
they're playing aliens again.
Again. All this
great show.
Aliens that you think is so important, you could kiss all that goodbye.
Why? No talking. Heathers is a great school movie. You have quite a great page here too.
It is. I was obviously, you can tell the movies I love for the most part.
Oh yeah.
But So I do need to update that with some of the actors. But
I don't know. It's good. Next is certainly a dark film, but this is Elephant, which I think we both respect this movie. We've watched it a few times.
So
Gus Van Sant.
Elephant. We've talked about. So, and I can't remember what year that was, but obviously it was kind of a take on Columbine.
It was
shot in kind of different points of view, mostly non-actors. Mm-hmm. For the most part, and I did want to go to this location, but it's been torn down.
I think you said, we spoke about this before, the school was in the process of being closed when they filmed there or something.
So they just took advantage of it and then new school in place. But anyway, this is one of those movies that it haunts me. So I don't have it in my collection. It's not on Blu-ray, but it's not one of those that you just rewatch. Like, I'm like, oh, hey, I feel like putting on Elephant tonight.
No. It's like a Schindler's List or something. Yeah. You should see it once, but that's it.
Yeah, if you catch it, then you would watch it. But otherwise, it's not one that you pull out saying, hey, everybody, it's Friday night. Do you want to watch?
Yeah, Elephant's coming out. So. Oh, we were thinking Pretty in Pink, but now we're watching it.
Which one of these? Yeah.
Anyway. One of these. But yeah, next is Mr. Holland's Opus. Mm. This is Robert's favorite movie, probably.
Mm-hmm. It's a movie.
Have you seen it?
Once. This is Richard Dreyfuss. And...
Yeah, it's curmudgeon-y Richard Dreyfuss. Saving kids. It's like a... G version of Dangerous Minds. He goes into the school and he's like, I'm going to whip you kids into shape.
There's a big contest at the end. I wonder how it's going to turn out. And that's what I just...
What's going to happen?
I don't have patience for that.
No. The one thing I'll give Mr. Holland's Opus credit for is they do a good job with the backdrop of the historical, like they do the 60s through the 70s, through the 80s, and they do...
Yeah.
Allude to like the Vietnam War and like John Lennon dying and things like that, which I think were pretty good. But yeah, overall, it's a little sappy. A little too sappy.
None for me, thanks.
For me, thanks. What's the next one on the list, sir?
Pretty in Pink. So John Hughes written, I think, maybe. I know he's producer, but somebody else to it. I think Howard Dutch directed. So
yes.
Bringing back Molly Ringwald and Anthony Michael Hall. Annie Potts. Applause.
I love early 80s, mid 80s Annie Potts. Ghostbusters to Harry Crumb to this. She's like, whatever happened to her? Why did she stop like doing movies?
I don't know. Probably she just doesn't have to, or there's no good roles for her. But
yeah.
So movie starts with her living on the wrong side of the tracks, literally. And
of course.
She lives next to Elrod Alley from Halloween 2. So that's the alley Michael Myers and goes through in Halloween 2.
Oh, really?
The opening scene is right. Seymour starts right next to that house in the alley.
Oh, that's so cool.
Actually the picture taken from the alley. So here we are back at John Marshall High School. We just saw in Grease and Elm Street.
It's going to make it. All roads lead back to John Marshall
High. Like Father, Like Son, and every other horror movie. And look, you can park right in front of the school.
Right there. How convenient.
Did anybody do that in high school? I don't think so.
No. Wasn't a thing.
Yeah. Steph's house was just in this week's episode of American Horror Stories.
Yes, you posted about that.
Yeah, Judith Light's house is Steph's house, James Spader's house in the movie. So.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. How was the new American Horror Stories?
Ooh.
Oh, really? Is it bad?
It's, you know, remember Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone?
Ugh, yeah, it was terrible.
It's on that level.
No.
Just kind of unnecessary, and I'm like, is there this... Virgin, this one was like, you know, being a beauty thing. It's Virgin on Death Becomes Her, but is a little bit Twilight Zone-ish, and nobody cares. You just don't care anymore. So I love Judith Light, but these stories are really just...
Yeah. No, I love Judith Light, too. Yeah. I think that's why I stopped watching it. It was just like too many unnecessary risks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, but good to know.
Speaking of the Galleria, so this was Santa Monica Promenade, where the record store was.
Great shots, Robert.
Thank you. So, trying to think, Chinatown.
Ducky was a interesting character.
I did not like Ducky, but I
don't think anybody liked Ducky.
I did. So, I was 16 when this movie came out. So, my favorite character is Kate Vernon. Where do you get your clothes? The Five and Dime store.
Oh yeah, she's great.
Actually,
so smug.
I have an autograph. I had her write that.
Did you? Nice. That's
on her,
perfect.
Yeah, on the autograph. Where do you get the clothes? Your Five and Dime store. So, and she still looks great. So,
where did you see her at?
I met her a couple times. One at a Battlestar Galactica convention, and then two at I think it's now it's called Los Angeles Comic Con. It was called Stan Lee's Comic Con or something like that. So but yeah, so she's one of my favorites. But
yeah, what will you go to first? Will you do Pretty in Pink or something like? Like for Molly Ringwald kind of movies, or like 16 Candles, like what would your go-to be? Obviously probably Stand, but...
Well, of course, Fran. She's Fran, you know?
Yeah. Look, Daddy, we know a published writer.
I don't... So Pretty in Pink, here's the thing. This movie came out at 16, and everybody's awkward, and you just project yourself, like, who am I in this movie? Am I Ducky? You know, should I be wearing weird clothes? You...
Right.
Nobody yeah. can. Nobody could do that in high school and get away with it.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Even in the 80s, it just yeah. it can't be done.
Did you want to be 32-year-old James Spader? You know, Robert California.
I know. It's so great.
Blaine. His name's Blaine. Or what's my sister's favorite line from the movie is, remember they go to their Steph's bedroom and. Yeah. And she goes, I know you. And she goes, Jim. She's like, your name is Jim.
Your name is Jim.
So that's what she wrote of my sister's autograph.
Oh, that's so cool. Yes. Your name is Jim.
I'm sure other people have made her write Pretty in Pink quotes. But so we were, it was all less about Battlestar Galactica. It was all about Pretty in Pink for us. So, but as a whole, and it did bug me because I knew immediately there was something wrong with the end because Andrew hair was all different for the reshoots. His hair looked different.
Was it? I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't remember it.
They weren't supposed to get together at the end, and test audiences freaked out, and so they had to come back and reshoot at them, you know, kissing in the parking lot. So, which it's the same version of there wasn't enough love scenes with Tom Cruise and what's her name in Top Gun that they had to go back and reshoot in silhouette love scenes, and or she had to wear a big cap.
Oh yeah.
And stuff like that, and it's like,
never close your eyes. I have noticed that in films when you're like, this guy is completely different looking now. Like they had to add things in.
The reshoot thing is, did reshoots ever really help, or I don't know.
It's a sign of poor production because it's like you couldn't get it right the first time you have everybody. Now you have to redo it. Like somebody. You need to do it once.
It's either that or Studio Madeline saying, this will get us another weekend of number ones.
Right, yeah.
Something like
that's what it is. It's some mouth.
And then I feel like you just either trust the director as, you know, a tour or and the writer or you don't.
Right, yeah, so, yeah. Give them look the at, creative like, control.
I think, I wonder, like, Halloween Kills, I'm like, I know they went and kind of messed with it, different things. I'm like, should they have just stuck with original? I don't know. But.
Yeah, they did that with I Am Legend too. There's like five different endings, and it's like, okay.
Just anyway.
I'm a purist. I think you should just stick to the script and do it.
It is what it is, and just let it be.
So. Exactly.
But anyway, Pretty in Pink still. It's still. I don't. It's same thing. The characters really aren't likable. So it's hard to
kind of forgettable.
It's hard to love it.
Yeah. Anyway. They're doing a sequel. It's called Sexy and Sapphire.
Oh.
No, I can't back that
Not
up.
Everyone.
Hey, that's not true. Next on the list is Scream. This is one of our favorites. This is the movie that revolutionized the horror genre at the time.
And we should say 1996 Scream, not 2021 or two, whatever it was, Scream.
This was a game changer and has no shortage of the Sonoma... Here it is. Sonoma Community Center played the high school.
Yeah, so it was a good-looking high school.
It was a good-looking high school. Yep. Good-looking people.
And as everybody knows, this was not the high school they intended to shoot at. But
right. Yes, we've talked about that.
Yeah, it was the, I can't remember the name of it, but it was the Peggy Sue Got Married High School that they shot at, intended to,
right?
Yeah. That. And actually, because I've been to that school, and I'm like... That school has less character than this one, so I'm glad they actually shot.
It was a well-received, nice change.
Yes.
You know.
So, but yeah, Linda Blair is in this scene. She plays one of the reporters.
Of course, a little nod to her horror past.
Correct.
This was shot... I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
This was shot... Where was this shot right here?
It's right across the street from the school. As
oh, it really was across the street?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Everything is real here.
I never know. Everything is real here.
Yeah, for the most part, they shot inside and out, and then the kind of the courtyard. So it was mostly, it wasn't all the same town. It wasn't all Sonoma, but it was kind of around kind of the same areas.
You know what I liked about this movie, too? The personal experience was I was obviously in high school, or ninth grade, I think, at the time. Saw it with friends from school. You were kind of like in the psyche of this is happening. It's kind of like, as weird as it sounds, it's kind of like a nostalgic movie for me. You're like, I remember when we watched this, it changed the game. You know, you're like, you never seen anything like that.
And these were closer to teenagers than we've had before.
It's true. And it was accurate. And when we originally saw this, this spawned Matt and Mike's horror movie weekend nights.
Ah.
And we had a group of people and, you know, we'd pick a different horror movie each week, like Halloween and this and that. And eventually Mike and I just started controlling the choices and people started falling off because we were picking movies like, you know, Killer Clowns, which is a classic, Return of the Living Dead 2. And I guess for the 15, 16-year-olds in our crowd, they weren't really feeling it. And they're like, we don't want to watch these movies anymore. And we're like, you're going to watch them and like them.
It will be good and you're going to like it.
And just being like the two of us, like watching these movies. We kept going down these rabbit holes of like, this is Funhouse. We're going to watch it.
Funhouse, anyway, that's a good one. So
it is a good one.
But as a high school, Henry Winkler obviously is the principal.
Yeah.
It's a good high school movie. This is pretty approximate to what high schoolers I think were likely at probably at that time.
Yeah, those I thought late, it was a very, very accurate.
Those late 90s high schoolers, not that I knew necessarily for sure.
Right, but pretty accurate.
Yeah. But yeah, so.
And you got to love Dewey.
Oh, Dewey, so old. What was he, 29 in the movie or something like that? I was like, oh, kids.
Kids. Oh, so good.
But yeah, so if you're in Sonoma, they usually seem to be okay to fans to run around and take pictures. And
you like to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's ruined it for them yet. So
no, they haven't been. They haven't been Friday the 13th Part 5 barned houses where they're nasty and they kick you out.
We'll get there.
Varsity Blues is here. This is, you know what? Surprisingly, this movie still holds up for an MTV movie in the 90s. It still has pretty good performances.
I've never seen it.
You haven't seen it?
I have not. It just didn't seem like my type of movie.
Yeah, it's not really my type either. It's got good performances. And it has, of course, the line, I don't want your life, James Vanderbeek.
That's all I know from the movie.
That's all there is to know.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. So now I do love, and maybe I should put it this, we've talked about it before, James Vanderbeek going to college in Rules of Attraction. So maybe that would be in my mind sequel of
that's how you should relate it.
Then now I'll go back and watch Varsity Blues. I'm like, oh, this was
him.
Started it. Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm looking at the next one.
This is a rough one. Dead Poets Society. Overquoted and kind of a depressing movie.
I saw this in the theater.
Oh, a trooper.
I know. Well, at the time, it was like, hey, it's getting good reviews.
That's right, yeah. And it's
serious this time. He's serious in every single one of his movies.
I know.
I remember not liking it. I remember sitting in the theater just thinking this. I didn't. It was too sappy and too. Yeah, I did not care for it.
Right. It insisted upon itself. It's like, hey, I get it. You're reaching out to these kids with some of these old Walt Whitman poems. Like, okay. It would only work, too, in that time when they did it. You know, like the stuffy boarding school.
Yeah.
He wasn't really a great teacher in it. He was kind of doing his job.
He wasn't. Now that you
by jumping on a chair and singing a funny voice, you're kind of like failing as a teacher.
You're trying too hard, and the guy. It was an all boys school, wasn't it? Too on top of it.
Yeah.
So right. Yeah, no.
When he passed away, too, I remember my feed was flooded with like, "Oh Captain, Oh Captain," and I was like so angry, and I'm like, "Stop pretending you like this movie."
Just, nobody. Like,
do Mrs. Doubtfire or something. Mork and Mindy, like,
oh, hello. Can they do a mashup of him, Mrs. Doubtfire teaching? That I would be like, oh, okay, now Mrs. Doubtfire has to teach now. You know.
I know you don't listen to yourself on the show, but every episode does have hello at the beginning of it.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, it's had it for 2 years now.
Oh, no. Is it me doing it, or is it?
No, the show only starts off with, you know, get that baby.
Oh, no.
And then I cut into a bunch of clips, and in the middle you hear, oh, no, I crowbarred in.
Yes, for listeners, I never have listened to any show. I can't.
That'll be funny if you did one day, you went back and you realized you were edited incorrectly throughout the show. Like, I was like,
maybe look like a
Robert, are you a Republican? Sure am. And it was like, what's going on? No.
I did listen to myself on our local NPR had a interview with me.
Oh, that's cool.
I sat down that it was it was edited, but then played live and last weekend. So I begrudgingly, I was like, I should listen. You know,
what, do you not like the way you sound, or is it just like a self-conscious thing?
It's a both self-conscious thing and like when I'm on TV or whatever, I feel like I need to watch to see how my organization's represented. But like literally every time I'm on screen or whatever, I just look away, and then I look back once I'm done talking, or you know. But
that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. If it's something for a job or something, I don't ever want to watch it again.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but if it's like the pod, like I'll listen to all of our episodes.
And yeah, I know you said you listened. I was like, what did I say?
What? No, I
would
good.
I would be second guessing myself too much, but anyway.
Well, you're always on point.
You're too kind.
Okay, and finally, is 16 Candles of the John Hughes universe? We're showing Robert's page too in Evanston, Illinois. Robert, what neighborhood is this in? Is this in a lot of John Hughes?
This is kind of, this is in the same area, if I remember, where some of the other John Hughes-ish stuff is.
Okay.
Kind of in the same area. For some reason, I thought it was near where the She's Having a Baby houses are. But so the house, the 16 Candles house looks pretty much the same. I went to the party house. I'm wearing my skinny jeans way back then, so now that I noticed. But
what's that shirt? Is that a Madonna shirt?
It's my This is day one, so you can always tell my day one because that's my travel shirt.
Oh, okay.
That I've worn on every flight out of Omaha since 2006, I think.
Oh, or
2004.
Committed.
Yeah.
Do you like this movie? I don't think we ever talked about it.
I do. So I was 14, I think, when that came out. So I just thought 13 or 14. So I was just about to go into high school, I think. I think I was going to go into high school the next, that fall.
Oh, your prime target right there.
Yeah. And so, and this is like, if it captured, there's moments in this movie that do capture real high school moments. And there's something about, you know, when they walk into the school dance. So something about the lighting, the way the music is sounding, whatever, is like literally spot on.
Like it feels like you're at a school dance.
Yes.
And you don't want to be there, but like it's kind of exciting. But
you could almost smell the school, you know? So
right, right. Eyes judging you.
I was in one of our high schools last week for right before school started for a special session. And I was like, I was walking. I was like, is there a high school smell? Like it literally smell, you know, is it the puberty smell? I don't know, but
it's like that
it
and like the gym like smell.
Yeah, I was walking through the hallways of one of our high schools here, and I'm like, this smells like high school.
Yeah, it does.
And there's been no kids there. But anyway, 16 Candles. It still works for me. I still think it's funny. There's still stuff that probably should not hold up, but it's from my era. So
yeah.
And Jake Ryan, come on.
Yeah, Jake Ryan. He's so dreamy.
He is. There was nobody better. He probably still, for, you know, at least a generation, was the threshold of what you would aspire to have as your lover.
Right, exactly. And this was his car in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Porsche at the time was, like, more expensive for inflation than it kind of is now. So if that was today, that would be like him driving a $90,000 car. He had it going on.
So speaking of that scene, so me and my best friend would, we actually end up sharing apartments. So like there'd be times where I'd come to pick him up and I'd be like waiting outside. And almost every time my friend would come out and he'd be like, me? I'm like, yeah, you. You know, like, and so we thought we were hilarious. But
that's so funny. Oh, man. I love driving shenanigans when you're kids. We used to do at high school time. My friend Mike would walk out of class with a school bag, and I would drive, and I'd have the Halloween theme song playing through my car, and I would just creep behind him, and he would look back and then keep walking, and I'd go like a little bit faster, and it was always when somebody else was watching, and then he'd look back again, and at one point he started running, and then the car would like speed out, and I'd chase him, and people were like, what are those fucking losers doing? It never like scared anyone, because I had music playing, but they were just like, what are they doing?
You made your own fun, you know.
Yeah, I got a lot of trouble for that once. I did it at like a wedding, and somebody like was furious, like, why are you ruining this wedding? And I'm like, it's like a joke.
So nobody really thought something was bad?
Not at all. No, we just look like jackasses, but hey, shenanigans, right?
Speaking of shenanigans, I don't know if you see, Omaha made a little bit of the news in some areas for one of our local nonprofits to prepare for active shooter awareness, did a mock shooting, but did not tell staff that it was mock.
Oh my God.
And hired a guy to use a live gun, but with blanks.
Whoa. And
yeah, it was a mess.
Man, somebody could have really gotten hurt. What if somebody was carrying a real gun and like
exactly, somebody could have had a heart attack. I knew somebody I think leapt over a fence and landed on a trash dumpster. You know, it was just one of those horrible things. So
to mention the stress.
Correct. Yeah, and you are just creating trauma for it. And then on top of it, they found out this guy was later that same month was. This happened like in May, but now it's all coming out. Like 2 weeks later, he was convicted for enticing a underage child for sex. It was just...
Wow, I'm looking at this right now.
Aria, oh.
Whoa.
Rats, Omaha. It was...
Denise Bartels, executive director of Omaha's Catholic Charities, issued a 4-paragraph statement about... Oh, my God. I mean, talking about the mental duress of somebody there.
Yeah.
That's basically the same thing as doing that and going, it's just a joke, guys.
Yeah.
You know, it has the same effect. You're striking fear.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, and I understand the need to have mock different things like,
of course,
hey, let's get serious. This is why we do fire drills and so forth. But we all know it's fire drills, and we know, you know, that
it's a fake shooting.
It's a pattern to put ourselves into, to, you know, and it's gross. Yeah. Nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to think about this is what we have to prepare for. But this is also reality. But right. You don't
save lives. So they didn't tell anybody. They just did it?
Yeah. I think only a couple people knew, but he told them not to, so that way people had to react. And I think that if anything, they were told they were going to have an active shooter training or something like that. But people thought that was a PowerPoint at some point. You know.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Not to mention, blanks can still fire. It's extremely rare, but they can still kill somebody.
It was just not...
wow.
Failure. And so like it made the local news, and then it started national news, started obviously picking up on Nebraska ineptness. But
it's so funny. What, this was in Omaha?
Yes. Yeah. So
wow,
welcome to Omaha.
Well, I'm looking at the guy, and he's got quite the past.
He's not somebody you even want to have a gun with blanks, I think. But
like, how would he even be cleared for that kind of job?
I do not know, but
wow.
Apparently, yeah. So, anyway, that's Omaha in the news for you. We should have a new segment, Omaha in the news. Every
yeah,
week
no, I'm all about it.
What fantastic things are happening here?
What's happening? And in LA news, the Sixth Street Bridge is reopened.
Oh, did they?
Okay. Yeah, they had they it keeps close. It kept closing, but as of recently, it reopened. With the thing about putting those bots dots in there, those like speed bumps, for to stop the street takeovers, the street racing. But I did read something funny because it shows up on my feed a lot that people were protesting the new Fast and Furious movie.
I did see that
when they were filming because of the street racing, and I said something like, "You should be protesting that movie anyway because they're terrible." Like, forget the byproduct of, like, the street takeovers. Stop making them.
Yeah, I saw there's some neighborhood they're mad because people are going and recreating the scene where they're doing the cookies or something, or, you know, whatever intersection in L.A. So
right.
I'm sure that particular intersection will be ruined with bollards or something like that.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, I still can't believe these movies make money. And I'm pissed at Universal for, like, one, you've had now two Fast and Furious rides, and one of them took out one of my favorite, the rolling cylinder thing. That was one of my favorites they took out for that crappy live in a video game Fast and Furious ride. But
yeah, and I feel like those movies, they obviously do very well, but they're targeted to a specific demographic, and those aren't the people that are going to Universal Studios.
No.
You know, when I went there last time and we went on the ride, I feel like everybody, or part of the, like, when they do the tour, nobody really was, like, into it.
No, nobody cares.
It's really about cars. Like, unless you're in a, like, a little, like, bumper car or something, like a track. Like, no, come on.
Do they still, I know sometimes you still drive by it, the Tokyo Drift. Remember they used to, the tram would go around that and the cars would be dancing, like, and, you know, like, movie magic. And I'm like, none of this is movie magic. This is, like,
right.
For you to look at, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, and those poor tour guides are like, they're like, hey, can you give us a bow? You know, like, they're talking to machines, and then
I know, they're talking to machines. Can you give us a bow? And they're like, wow. And
they're like, I hate my life.
I wanted to talk about Jaws and Back to the Future. Instead, we're talking to cars.
Yeah. And I know they still drive by some Fast and Furious cars. And then the thing is that I'll still be with people are like, ooh, and like oh, God, no.
Ooh, I know. Ooh, this is amazing. Honey, look, get a picture.
Look, it's so-and-so's car. I'm like,
take a bell. I did see do you remember the movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Of course.
You know how he's in Herbie the mm-hmm. Taxi? They showed the car on some TV show that he drove in, that they did the animation cells in there. And it was kind of really cool. It was like a little go-kart looking thing. But you're like, oh, that's Herbie the, not Herbie, Benny. Benny the
cat. It looked like, yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. I know. And I know I'm trashing Universal Studios there, but I love to go to Universal Studios. But
no, of course. But they can do better with the Fast and Furious.
They can, and I want to keep it kind of old school, you know, keep the
real movie magic.
Real movie magic, not the King Kong 3D. I mean,
I know.
The thing is, you go through it once, nobody needs to go through it again, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't think anybody.
And even Jurassic World, I'm a huge Jurassic Park universe guy, but like the water ride, like, you can do better. Jurassic Park can do a little bit better than that. It's just like a log flume with some animatronics. You're like, I get it, but come on.
I go on it every time, but
yeah, no, of course.
Probably because that drop, it's a significant drop that freaks me out a little
it
bit.
It is significant. It is scary.
And then I always do that, and then I follow up with Mummy the Ride to drive myself off.
Oh, that's a good combo there.
Yeah, that's
Mummy the Ride's good.
Yeah, it's still, you know, I like it. Still, yeah. I won't forgive him for taking away E.T. the ride, but
I know.
And I refuse. Is the Mario World open? That just seems like a nightmare to me.
When I was there, it wasn't open, but that was last September, so it's probably open now.
It probably is. So, but I'll be there at some point in the next month or two for Halloween Horror Nights at some point. So.
Oh yes.
Which actually, we'll have to talk offline about something, but yeah.
You want me to audition for Hollywood Horror Nights?
Something Halloween related we'll talk offline about. But
it's going to be the Halloween premiere.
It is.
All right.
I need to go.
All right.
I can't be seeing it with commoners on opening night. Come on.
Did I say Halloween's end premiere? I meant Halloween Begins.
Shoot.
Screening at my buddy's house. It's going to be popcorn.
Darn it. That's what I meant. It's like, damn it. So.
Damn it. Okay, so definitely we'll talk about that, and we can wrap it up today unless you have anything else you want to discuss.
No.
Okay, that was a fun list. Check out Robert's website at setjetter.com for all the latest links and real movie magic that aren't animatronic talking cars or dancing cars. Take
dancing
a bow.
Dancing cars.
They really do say take a bow, though.
They did something or whatever. Something like that. Now our cars can do this. And they never used any of that technology for Fast and Furious. You know,
no, I know.
Certainly not during Tokyo Drift. But
so bad.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be our show tonight. Thank you, Robert, as always. And thank you for tuning in to Set Jetter Saturdays. We will see you on the Saturday.